Hello, audience, and welcome to another exciting episode of Garful Warful Snick. Today we are going to be talking about Garful Warful Snick with some very special people. Of course, we're going to talk about our favorite game designs and our favorite players, and we have some very special guests joining us tonight. So we'll see you after the opening, and team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my God, I'm such a big fan!
Oh, we're so glad to have you here! So what's the family name?
Oh God. Should have warned us before.
After Bros.
After Bros.
I'm sure the family name here is After Bros. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of the Voltron After Show on AfterBuzz TV, and that makes it sound like we're going to have some, like, deep after-school moral, but really, we're not. We're going to talk about the game show episode because we love it.
Season 7. Are we going to play pachinko?
Did you bring a pachinko board?
No.
Then the answer is no. No, this is a game based entirely on your wits and ability to improvise.
Crap.
Yeah, I know, right? So it's going to be fun and interesting. Welcome back. We are talking about Season 7, Episode 4, The Feud. With me, I have Yellow Lion, Mark Donica.
Reporting in.
Red Lion, Megan Salinas.
Red Lion?
Wow.
She's wearing green.
In any case, hey, everybody.
In my defense, that is literally Megan. The first time in 7 seasons that I have hecked that up. Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey, everyone.
The other arm. I am Black Lion Katie Cullen, and obviously I'm very happy to be here tonight, along with our fantastic special guests who actually proposed this episode, so we're super grateful to have you guys on. We have showrunner Joaquin Dos Santos.
Woo! Howdy!
Showrunner Lauren Montgomery.
Woo!
And for the first time in our studio, episode director Eugene Lee.
Woo!
Welcome to the Madhouse. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great, great. Super excited. Super excited to talk about this episode.
Yeah.
It's always one of our favorites. You know, we always do kind of like a one-off, and they're always kind of like our little unwind episodes. And then this one was definitely that, but it also had like a whole nother reason why it existed, which we'll get into later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before we get started on all of the fun conversation that we are all really looking forward to tonight, we need to lay down the usual rules. The spoiler rule does not apply because, of course, the season is over and has been for weeks. We are going to say, if you want to participate in the conversation, come join us in the live chat. There are a lot of you. Hello, everyone. And also come join us in the hashtag on Twitter, ABTVVoltron. That said, the brand new rule for this season is in effect, be nice or get out. We have some... Wow. Oh, and the light show, too. We are on tonight. We have some great bouncers at the Tavern of Lions, and this has been a fun and interesting season for everyone involved. Your opinions are valid. I fully believe that you can express your opinions in a humane and respectful manner, and if you can't, you're getting banned from the channel. Bye, Felicia.
I'm banning people right now. It's my new favorite game show.
Mark B. Donica is the banhammer. So yeah, guys, be nice or we will not be seeing you around. And that goes for the comments, the hashtag, the chat, all that fun stuff. You are fully capable of being kind, so do it. Yeah! How are you guys doing tonight? Thank you for suggesting this, for one, for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, we're stoked. I mean, I think Lorne and I are, like, weirdly sadistically stoked because this episode is, like, strangely divisive. There's some people that grew up, like, in the generation of, like, staying home from school and watching these shows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that were sort of peripherally aware of what these shows were, and The Price is Right is still on, and it's fantastic.
That's me.
Eugene.
the director of this episode.
Yeah, as his Family Feud.
So is Jeopardy. These game shows will never die.
But they held like a very special sort of place, I'd say, especially in like the, you know, late 70s, 80s.
Yeah, back in the day when you really only had a few select channels to choose from.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you didn't get to go to the internet. It didn't exist yet.
Right.
So you didn't get to choose what you wanted to watch. You had to watch what was on at that time.
That's right.
And so at a certain point, all your after-school cartoons were over. And then it was either you can watch the news, which no kid wanted to watch, or you could watch game shows.
That's right.
And so it was always the switchover was to game shows. And they were...
And Price is Right amongst them was like basically walking into like a toy shop. Like
God
every,
too.
You know, you're goddamn right. But the other reaction we've gotten is just pure confusion and like slight anger at times. Where people are like, "Well, this, why did you even do this episode? It's just confusing. We don't understand it." We weirdly love that as well in a very weird level.
I think it comes from a people trying to understand the rules, but when half of it is in an alien language, you're like, "No, I want to
understand. Right. I want to know what's happening.
Still so engaged.
I want to win.
Yeah."
How do I win this?
Just say Bebo a lot.
Right. That's
a
it.
Lot.
They've only
variations.
Got two words in their language, be or bo. Just keep going until you get the right answer.
Just say them in the right combination and hope that they are interpreted correctly.
That's right.
Why did you choose the particular games that you did? Because we had a Jeopardy-style one. We had mini golf, which kind of reminded me of Double Dare a little bit.
Really?
In terms of
so
ricochet
that
things.
Is directly referenced from The Price is Right. Even to Pidge getting down and like taking the measurements and stuff. If you look up, yeah. Bob Barker has the exact same reactions that we put in the show. Like, this lady's like getting down and taking the measurements. He's like, "We gotta go to commercial break, lady. Like, speed it up."
Did the scene also end?
No, it did not end the show. She
that
didn't
price
nail
is
it
wrong.
In the head.
Yeah. She was trying to win.
Yeah.
Pidge was trying to, you know, force her way off.
That's
game
right.
Show.
That's right.
But yeah, I
mean, she was savage.
She
was wonderful.
It was beautiful. We all kind of, I think we just kind of had our favorites. Like, yours was always The Price is Right.
Mm-hmm.
I had this, like, huge love affair with Family Feud when I was in college. And this was when, like, cable was kind of branching out and they had the game show network. And so you had, like, all of the reruns of all of the game shows and, like, Family Feud. And $10,000 Pyramid was a huge one. We didn't get to work that one in, but I already had, like, the ideas of, like, what if it's, like, you know, just Allura and Karan and everything that they have to guess is just, like, something random and nobody gets it. Only Allura and Karan could get it.
Right.
But,
We got, like, a password sort of.
Yeah, it was kind of like password slash win, lose, or draw.
Yeah.
With Keith there, which was always hilarious. And then a little bit of that, the Bebobi was kind of like the celebrity name game.
It was a little bit of that. Yeah. But I think you, if I'm not mistaken, like that, it wasn't exactly written that way. You added that like kind of change humor in there, like the little
clicking
over.
I think because they're originally going to be different characters that he was supposed to name. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was more like, oh, these are characters that he would know. Like,
he would know them.
Like Naima or Paxum.
Yeah. Easier right. to remember yeah. for yeah, Lance, yeah. so we had to make him like the harder characters yeah. to remember.
The ones that we don't even remember.
Yeah. Exactly. The funniest thing, like, I, you know, we read the scripts every day, so we see these names. So, like, I know all of these characters, but when I think the visual Voltron
handbook
or the Instagram they put out a little kind of they put Blumfump they put a few characters and I was looking at like the polls as far as like, who's getting it right and it was kind of split and I was like, oh good. So like we know the characters but the vast majority of people don't, which is fine. They only ever say their name like once and I don't expect anyone to remember them, but it made me feel better that like they actually are kind of hard to remember.
We remember names like Blumfump because it's such a ridiculous name. Yeah. So we would just say it all the time like,
yeah.
And you mentioned like 20 times on the script.
Yeah.
That's so right.
Like, we're at the right chords. Yeah. We gotta know who's what character.
Right.
But yeah, it's in real life. I am horrible with names. So like,
I would probably still do about
Lance's
as poorly
situation,
as Lance.
Situation, I would have failed 100%.
See and.
Oh!
Yeah!
Oh, that sound.
Oh, Steve in the booth is our Karan, and he is a master of things like that. Thank you so much. Holy cow. What I love about watching Lance play that game is that he remembers people in much the same way I do. It's like, oh, they were at this location, they did the thing, they were wearing this thing, but names? Forget about it. So Antok came up and was like, oh, yeah, he was the one that got wrecked in that fight with the druid. Like, I remember that he died horribly. What was his name?
Blade.
That's it. Yeah.
Blade.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
The intensity. Blade.
Yeah. That's all
that
this guy's staging
Eugene.
Here.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I think that's how I am with the episode numbers. You know, whenever we get to like episode 207, I'm like, the one with the thing. Like, just give me a.
Yeah. People will say like the titles of the episodes, and like unless the title is literally Shiro's Escape, we're like, I know what happens.
Right.
Like the ruins,
like,
or
yeah,
the feud,
it's
or,
like
you know.
most of them, I'm just like, oh, just help me.
Tell me what's in it. What was your favorite part?
Yeah. That's pretty much.
It was all good.
Great. I liked that episode, too. Yeah. The one that we're talking about.
Yeah. It's great because, like, I remember going through some of the design coordinators, like, I don't know if you've ever gone through the...
Shotgun program?
Yeah, program. And then they're like, the one that... And then the one...
They did it. They did, like, the naming convention from Friends, where it was, like, the one with the thing. The one with Yeah, it was totally like the Friends naming convention.
Yeah. So they could easily find designs. Like, there's this program at DreamWorks called Shotgun, where it's like, it organizes everything by asset name. And so, like, you can easily find anything. But, yeah, they did it the smart way. The way that you can remember.
The way that we so that when talked about the
we're
episodes.
Like, 219, and nobody knows what the heck 219 was. Like,
the one with the mermaids.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like the one where Keith leaves or something. Like,
yeah. Kind of going off of that, you guys talked about it a little bit last time you guys were on the show, but the look of this episode is something that's wholly unique to this, not only the season, but the series as a whole. Do you guys want to talk about sort of creating that sort of game show-esque, like, old Absolutely. TV aesthetic.
Not even just a game show look, but a retro game show look to where every once in a while I would see, like, is that fuzz? It would become more and more like a TV program. It was bizarre, but please tell us about it.
Yeah. You know, our initial pass on that was we went, like, deep level futzy futz on the screen to the point where there was ghosting. There was, like, images that were, like, slowly crawling up. Like the screen that's starting at the bottom again. Yeah,
that old stuff when you're young, you've still got the antenna on your TV, and you know there's only supposed to be one character on the screen, but somehow there's two of them, and they're both moving at the same time, because that's how bad
the reception
the
was.
Picture is. Yeah.
You basically made it Five Nights at Freddy's at one point.
Yeah. I mean, what's weird, though, is that for us, that was fantastic, and we thought it would, like, totally tap into, like, the nostalgia, and one of our executives, I think we talked about it, said that there was an assistant.
The assistants were confused.
They were confused by
this. They didn't understand, like, why it looked so bad. We thought the file was corrupted.
You didn't
think the file was corrupted. You're our age.
Yeah.
But maybe your assistants didn't quite understand it.
People that didn't grow up with a CRT TV.
That's right.
Yeah. Any of that stuff.
That's right.
The thing that was the most nostalgic for me was the little moment that Bob had with Hagar of, oh, and this lovely lady.
That's totally inappropriate.
Entirely inappropriate.
Yeah, that,
now Bob.
That was very clearly like, so as I was going through my appreciation of Family Feud and all its ridiculousness in college, the one thing that I hadn't experienced like in my youth because Family Feud was new to me was Richard Dawson and what he was and he was this really creepy like it was normal at the time, but to me as a college kid like who that wasn't cool, he would kiss like every woman
and like on the lips. Like legit kiss like on the lips.
He was like, oh, come here darling. So, like, what?
No
myself, you know, being appalled by this, but then seeing like there were women on this show that were like, where's my kiss? I'm like, what are you asking? What are you doing?
They were like wrapped up in the
I was very concerned for these women. Like, what if one of them didn't want to kiss him and felt pressured because she was on the show? So we didn't go that far, but like as a little homage to like that creepy host-ish.
Yeah.
There's that little, like, like, you know, he kind of hits on Hagar. And it's hilarious to us because Hagar is clearly, like, the least emotive of all the characters. She sits there and, like, you see, like, a little blush on her face, but that's it. There is no change in her whatsoever.
That whole dichotomy between the two of the, or the three of them, rather, showed it's an early glimpse of, even though it was a little bit of a facsimile, the power gap between Bob and, it's been such a long day.
How dare you.
Zarkon.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Yes,
get out.
But between Zarkon and Bob, seeing like that initial thing of, oh, like, yes, this is a game show and it's this thing, but after finding out who Bob is, like, oh, there is a big power difference
for
between
sure.
the two of them.
Well, and I mean, you get the reality bender thing from Bob pretty early on, and especially if you're watching one of those blink and you'll miss it moments of, oh, the Zarkon family was cardboard cutouts half a second ago.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Right.
So once you figure out he's Q, the Elemist, whatever your reality bender of choice is, you kind of go, all right, this makes so much more sense. And also, please don't murder them. Oh, my God.
Yeah. At one point, he was the base, like the last obstacle they needed to pass before getting back to Earth.
Midge almost got him.
Right. But that was like, I don't know. It felt a little funny.
The episodes were in a very different order production wise. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, when it came to airing them, we swapped a couple around because like getting back to Earth on the heels of a game show felt a little more like anticlimactic.
But I mean, it was originally written that it was like that was the prize. Yeah. Like Earth was actually like end game for like winning the game show. And it was cool, but it was also like, we don't want like the stakes to be kind of as much of a joke to get back to Earth.
Yeah. So we swapped it around, and then it ended up being the kind of alone, lost in space episode.
The crazy
episode. Which was a better fit. But was that another one of yours?
That was mine.
That was.
Eugene all over the place.
You got all the crazy space times.
That was a terrifying trip. Dear Lord.
But I want to talk a little bit about the, you know, what made the game show episode come to be in existence. So Voltron is a really difficult show to work on, and we had lost a couple of our directors. So Steve, on awesome guy, he had let us know like I want to say like 8 months in advance. He's like, "Hey guys, at the end of season two, which us is like season one was Zarkon, season two is Lotor. I'm gonna go do my own stuff." And we're like, "We're cool, man. We got like 8 months to find your replacement. We're great." And then poor Chris Palmer is like at the end of season two, is like, "Hey guys, I'm dying." We're like, "All right, Chris, we'll you know, go your way."
Am I misremembering though? Did Steve tell us in a meeting and say, "I've got 8 months," and then how did that happen? Because I remember Chris is stacking up in a weird way this just happened.
No, I think what was happening was we knew Steve's end date was coming up soon.
So
and
was
then
it,
Chris,
that's what it was. As soon as Chris leaving, like his. But it was his tone, because he was like, "Hey, guys," and we were like, "Man, it's happening again. Oh. It's happening again. There it goes." We couldn't fault him. Like, they bled for us.
Yeah, the
for sure.
second that happened, all eyes went to Eugene. And we're like, "You can't go, man. You can't leave us." Eugene's like, "I'm tired, guys. I'm so tired." We're like, "No, Eugene, no, you can't leave.
Don't do it."
And so we're like, "All right, Eugene, what do we gotta do, Eugene? We're giving you a month off. We're gonna make an episode. Originally the plan was we're gonna make a clips episode. We're gonna make a clips episode. We'll direct it, and Eugene gets a month off to kind of recoup." And then our execs were like,
"Contractually, we were not allowed to do a clips episode."
Because that's technically, like contractually, we have to deliver original content,
new content
to Netflix, which is not a clips episode. So our fix for that was, we're going to make a game show episode. We're going to send reference of all the game shows to Mir, and we're just going to tell them, if the shot isn't in these clips, don't use the shot. It has to be specific, like game show camera shots.
But even from just a purely production, like sort of volume standpoint, there's really only like two sets or something like that. You know, three setups that you need like designed. So that's even just all the way down the line. It's a lighter load.
Yeah.
I do hope that more shows in the future go, "You know what? We need to put a game show episode
here." I agree.
It sounds like a great fit.
Yeah.
Put that in my reality TV. Put that in my animation. Yes. Put that, you know, Z Nation hasn't done one yet.
More game shows.
It's like the only thing Z Nation hasn't done.
All game shows.
Yes.
More game shows for sure.
Yes.
But Eugene, you were close, man. You were on the brink.
Yeah, well, it was kind of...
It's all right, man. Let it all out. Yeah,
so this calm. Is therapy,
It's
buddy.
All coming out right now. No, I don't know, like... I felt like after they left, like, you know, it was kind of hard to leave too, you know, because they were like, "Oh, I can't leave now either." Like,
right.
You know, but
all the pressure was
no,
on.
But at the same time, I was like, "No, I want to see this to the end." Because when I started this, I did want to see it to the end. Mm. Like, I usually start what I usually finish what I start. So,
unlike those other yay-holes, right?
like those guys.
All awesome human beings. We love them to death.
Yeah.
But honestly, like you did, you came through for us. Like we've said it publicly before, but let it be known now across all of the internet. We love Eugene.
Eugene is the trooper of all troopers.
A lot of chat love for Eugene.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, everybody.
So given the sort of background behind this episode, then directing this must have been a lot of fun because, like, it's a little bit lighter in tone. It's a little bit goofier in the visuals.
So directing this, so I guess what I was saying earlier, like, I didn't really grow up watching a lot of these shows. Like, I watched, maybe Jeopardy or, like, Wheel of Fortune, which is kind of similar, right? Mm-hmm. But, I just had to do a lot of, like, reference and stuff and
figure out,
like,
you the clips, right?
Yeah. You sent me the clips.
The Richard Dawson and the Steve Harvey.
That's right.
Family Feud.
Getting all those camera angles correct was, like, a huge amount of work. Because, you know, our storyboard artists are so used to, like, staging things, you know, in a dynamic way. And, like, you know, like, camera's literally on the floor and you're, like, looking, like, high up. And we couldn't do any of that. So we had to do, like, the normal, like, horizon level at the shoulder. Just kind of like boring shots, boring TV.
It's like a three camera like sitcom style shoot, you know?
And then some of the board artists just was like having a hard time wrapping their heads around that. And like even I was too sometimes.
You get to tilt the camera once, and that's when Pidge hits it with a golf ball.
Yes.
Go nuts.
There's that, and there's also like we had to sort of cheat some moments, like when their feet get locked in, there's like a sort of reverse looking up shot.
There's that kind of Bob like breaking the fourth wall with his like, you will die if you leave.
That's right.
Just that like, oh God.
But pretty much everything else we tried to keep it pretty standard.
I will say too that like Tim Hedrick was, I think, if not more. I didn't think it was possible to love game shows more, but he had like a more encyclopedic knowledge because he was just he's a couple years older than us. So he had like the prime all the way through the 80s into the 90s. Like he knew it backwards and forwards and brought so much of that voice
to it. He gave us Blazel Hooches.
That's right. Blazel Hooches. Yes.
Which I laughed out loud when I read that in the script. I was like, oh my God, this is my new favorite of all the shows, Blazel Hooches.
How long is Blazel Hooches?
I'm going to say like what's a good like 60 seconds?
Yeah, 60
seconds?
Let's put a minute on the
Blazel
board.
The inflection says like 60 seconds on the board.
Yeah.
Blazel Hooches on the board.
I love Lance immediately picking up. There's no way that was Blazel.
He was just already willing to like fight for his position. That kind of small stuff is what like fueled us through that entire it's those little jokes, those little moments that they're just
it's
so silly.
They're in such a weird situation, but Lance isn't gonna stop being
right. Right.
Like he would be the person who would just be like, there's no way that was Blazel Hooches.
That's right.
Lance is that guy who's really great in tough situations and who's a really good friend, but who you really do not want on your team for Pictionary night.
<That's right. laughs>
Like he's got a lot of skills, but that is not one of them.
I get the Lance approach because, like, I feel like I've done that approach too.
You're just throwing everything out.
Yeah. Like one of them will hit. Like I'm not sure what this is, but being silent isn't giving me a chance. So just like do it. Like I listen to Kevin and Bean on K-Rock every morning, and they'll have people call in and they'll play like a song and they gotta guess it. And sometimes they'll just be like, I don't know, and they'll just say anything. Guess.
Yeah.
If you just guess something, you have a better chance than doing nothing.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like that was pretty much Lance's approach. It's like, I'm just going to guess. I'm going to throw everything at the wall. Maybe something will stick. And then, you know, you've got Pidge who's like, we've not seen chickens in space.
Right. Like, Windy Cave is the greatest.
Windy Cave.
Hashtag Windy Cave.
Well, Windy Cave.
Yes.
I made something here.
An adjective.
Right.
Speaking of that, we had a question in chat from Knight that wants to know about Keith's drawing ability. Like, what was there? Is there any sort of background to that? And who actually did those drawings for the show?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that Ilguang again? Like,
I think that might have been Ilguang.
Ilguang always does, like, the most amazing, like, childlike looking drawings.
Right.
You know,
what was rad was seeing it like actually like animated. Like it looked like they captured somebody actually drawing it.
Yeah. The hilarious one is because like the red lion drawing was so detailed, it went so fast. It was like, oh my God, Keith is so fast.
Speed.
I liked that he was an artist. I thought it was cool. Like he was actually a pretty good artist.
Usually Christine does some of those drawings.
Christine
too, right?
does some of those too, yeah. Did she but, who did the who did the Pidge's notebook?
Christine did that based off of My storyboard.
Was it your storyboard drawing?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Look, Christine, she drove that shit home with crayons and everything.
Right, right.
Aww.
Right. I mean, I remember the original Hagar drawing used to actually not look like Hagar at all. It looked like a windy cave in the storyboards. So, like, Lance was kind of right. Like, I remember the board artist was, like, drawing, like, oh, like,
he was
windy
peering
cave
through the veil.
Yeah. And then, like, when we watched it down, we're like, no, it needs to look a little bit more like Hagar.
The storyboard artist was the one that really understood Lance.
Yes.
So when I was rewatching this episode, I'm a little embarrassed to admit, but like during what would have been the commercial break, I was legitimately expecting it to go to commercial.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, we did.
We did. We had one commercial per break. We would have done a million of them. Like I would have gone a full, you know, 22.
Yeah.
What other commercials
would you have
done?
The whole Crazy Gideon one, right?
Yeah, so Crazy Gideon was like a fixture in my childhood. He was
I
like this.
Crazy Gideon.
I think he passed away from a heart attack, unfortunately. Oh. But we love Crazy Gideon, and he had the best commercials where he'd like smash stuff and go, "I'm going crazy." So that was sort of our homage with the alien there.
Everybody has to look up Crazy Gideon right now. It's just like I don't know what I'm watching, but
look
I want to buy
up.
A TV.
He
I
was awesome.
TV.
That was
I don't
it.
Think I've ever seen that.
You
I
had
to
go to Crazy.
Dude, yeah, and we had to homage like. Every type of commercial. There's the commercial that's the actual commercial, which is the Crazy Gideon. And then there's like the sponsors where they'll just kind of read it and then they'll show the picture.
Right.
That's kind of what the Rep It Sal thing
the
was.
Right.
Where it'll just slap an image up and then the announcer or like Norlox just kind of reads like Rep It Sal.
He looked really uncomfortable.
Sal,
yeah.
Sal looked really
that was the
other thing too. You
to
had him
yet.
Do like the little like look off to the.
Oh yeah. I was kind of channeling my inner, you know, but. He's just kind of awkwardly like,
"Are we?" He's like asking, "Like, are we done yet?"
Yeah,
I'm not usually on camera. I just make food.
Yeah. That was a good one. And then I want to say we were kind of under time, weren't we? And that prompted the. So I don't know if you guys remember Santa's Village.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyone who wants to look up on YouTube the Santa's Village commercial, it is there.
It's magical.
It's specific
it's
to Southern California. You definitely don't. You're much too
no,
young.
No, I actually remember
really?
That commercial. Yeah, I
wow.
I've seen it before. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
so
this was also tied into, like, staying home from school or coming home at the right time to, like, catch this window of commercial. But, like, it was... Up in the, it seemed like
San
a magical,
Mountains.
Magical land of the San Bernardino Mountains.
Having recently driven to San Bernardino, there's no magic there.
Yeah.
It was magical.
You didn't know as a child exactly what San Bernardino was, but but like, it's just a very warm place.
Yeah.
It's very hot. I, you know, a lot of my cousins live out in San Bernardino, and so anytime we go out there, you know, my childhood brain just imagined the amazingness of Santa's Village,
that's
and it's
right.
like, oh no, it's just a normal place. And then Santa's Village is also somewhere in the mountains. But we kind of modeled Luxia's Kingdom off of. The Santa's Village commercial.
Santa's Village. The big one was visit the Good Witch's Bakery in the Santa's Village.
So Plaxton's Bakery. It was and lots more. That was the one. Like,
yeah. There's so much more. They had these like flying. Were they flying bees? You could get in. They were
they
like
had
buzzing
the
around.
Rides. They had the petting zoo. You could see. Santa's
it was magical,
reindeer.
Guys. Is what we're trying to say.
Yeah. The Good Witch's Bakery.
The Good Witch's
didn't
Bakery.
Didn't we do the exact same like. Window cut too into like
yeah
four
they had like
screens.
The window
yeah,
cuts
yeah.
on the four different screens it, yeah we tried to mimic it like as spot on as we could but
so as the only host who didn't grow up in Southern California does everyone else who's not grown up in Southern California I'm sure these are on YouTube.
They
and
are.
I have to go
are.
Look
yes.
them all up because
yes.
I need to see Crazy Gideon.
And it is standard definition. It is horrible picture.
Yeah, the sound will have.
It'll
probably
black
be like
bars on the sides.
Sandwich between like a Schaefer and Sons commercial and like you know, I don't know.
Stater Brothers.
That's another one. Yeah.
That's what happens when I try to show people American Furniture Warehouse and Oak Express commercials. Because
oh, wow.
Those are the Colorado commercials.
Those are the ones
Express
you grow.
Ones.
That's amazing.
Did you guys have
They're
Larry
wild.
H. Parker? Was he?
No, that's local.
That's all.
Okay.
That's all here.
Yes.
All
right. So, yeah. Our exec. Our exec.
No, we had the strong arm Frank D'Azar.
Oh, there you go. Everybody
the
had a local.
Everyone has a weird local law commercial. And that. So, what commercials did you want to do that didn't matter? Make it.
I'd say Larry H.
Larry H. Parker's right
which,
up there.
Like our executive, David Weeby, see his name at the end of every episode. he's from Canada. Mm. And I remember one thing specifically us wanting to do and like us getting a little bit of pushback. And we wrote in an email to David Weeb, like, come on, David, be our Larry H. Parker, like, meaning, like, fight for us. Yeah. And he was like, I don't know what this
means. We just thought it was like, oh, you didn't get him in Canada.
Like, come on, the man. Rest of the... Larry H. Parker, he'll fight for you.
But, like, his big claim to fame was, like, a football dude that got injured in, like, a motorcycle accident. I remember his face would show up in a window and be like Larry H. Parker fought for me and got me 2.1
million. Got me, like, 1.5 million. Like, it was every single time. That was his biggest thing, like, the biggest settlement he'd ever gotten.
Right.
1.5 million.
Okay, so what would the space lawyer's name be?
Oh,
what
boy.
Character would it be? Who would we be goodness. Advertising like this?
Who would be our space lawyer?
Do we have a space lawyer? Questions.
Nah, yeah.
Oh.
What species,
okay, never
what species
mind,
would you want it to be? From what planet?
It's got
to
be an Uluru.
Uluru is solid.
Yeah, man. It's and it would probably have to be the Paul Rubens character. Or the knife shop.
Let's bring.
We could have brought. Wasn't yeah, Vince Schlomi.
It was Vince Schlomi. Oh, let's bring him back.
That would have been magnificent.
Yeah.
If we could have gotten him doing, I think we actually may have at one point considered having him do an infomercial.
That's right. You know what we did for doing the the knives because it was sort of a Ginsu knife gimmick that he was using.
But I don't know if we had the like it was like okay if we're stunt casting the game show host then like. We probably can't bring him back just for this one little thing.
And he was awesome, too. Game show host. Was that John
Henson?
Davidson?
Jim Henson.
John Henson. John Henson, the Wipeout guy. Yeah. He used to host...
Oh!
John Henson. He used to host...
Talk Soup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
And he's awesome.
That was just incredible. I do have to ask about Bob. Why Bob? Why that name?
Bob Barker.
Because
it's like the most standard. Like,
it's like if we're going with the idea that this all-knowing being was also influenced by ridiculous Earth game shows, then he would have just chosen Bob.
I think he established the ridiculousness of the game show format across the galaxy. So Earth just inherited his foolishness.
So really,
he was the inception.
When Earthlings were being abducted by aliens and then like somehow also abducted by Bob, they witnessed that and they brought that back.
That was what they took back.
All right.
Blazing Cosmos in chat wanted to know if Bob was a certain type of alien or just chose that form. And is just a god, a form.
I think he can choose that form because at the end you see that he's this sort of like interstellar cosmic entity.
Yeah, Karan's image versus the image that we see.
Right, two completely different
things.
I think he can take any shape he needs.
I think, he can do what he wants. And in that case, he wanted to be in a little Jetsons putt-putt.
Just so we could use that
set. He did have a little seatbelt, which I adored.
I did appreciate
because he needed to go upside down.
That's right.
I did appreciate the game show host, and where every time there was a, like, how did we get here? What are we doing here? It was straight up, it turned into a traffic on the 405.
That's it, totally.
Like, not actually answering questions and avoiding any at all awkwardness.
Yeah.
That's hosting.
All just, game show banter.
It was beautiful.
Moof, and he was covered in Moof.
He was covered in Moof.
And a Moof glider.
I have a question on Twitter from Cinesai. What would Shiro's game show challenge look like?
Ooh.
Oh, I feel like he would have been American Gladiator.
Yes. But you would have had to go with like the OG American Gladiator with like the horrible like tape on the floor. I went to a live taping of American Gladiators when I was a kid.
No kidding.
I went to a live taping of the revamp American
The new
Gladiator.
One?
Yeah.
With Hulk Hogan like
was
hosting
it, Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, he hosted.
He was a host.
God,
yeah.
I don't even remember.
And was it Layla Ali or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was there. Yeah.
And Gina Carano was one of the gladiators.
She was.
Yeah.
She was.
Awesome.
I loved
fighter.
Her. Goodness. She was my favorite of the gladiators.
Yeah.
Let's Voltron says American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, absolutely.
Physical challenge. Honestly, Wipeout.
I was,
we talked about Wipeout.
I
don't see.
I feel like we may have considered an obstacle course, but then that was just going to be way too like
it's
design intensive.
And it's
storyboard intensive. It was all of the things we were trying to avoid.
I would say like OG Ninja Warrior because I like that they had muddy water. Like they just dumped you into like an empty pit in the
The shame water.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Joaquin and I were both huge fans of MXC when that was on Spy Kill.
Did you guys watch that show?
Oh, yeah, I did.
I loved MXC.
Gila Douche.
So
Gila Douche and Vic Romano. Kenny Blankenship.
Anyone who doesn't know what that show is, feel free to look it up. It is one of the funniest.
It was a redub of Takeshi's Castle, which was an awesome show as well.
And then they just dubbed over it with like the most ridiculous voices. And it was just so good.
We like, to this day, like when we're leaving for lunch, we go, let's go. That's like, that was like the, yeah, that's right.
It's always a big thing. But yeah,
comedy
if we could have done like everyone having their own thing, like if Hunk could have been on like the Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He would have been on like
Yeah.
Totally.
But then we got to kind of slide in the final Jeopardy, which was fun.
That was pretty great. And I do want to ask about that, because that was a very specific layout, like everyone choosing someone else and everyone giving a reason. Was that the initial iteration? Like, how long did it take to figure out who was going to do what?
I want to say that was Tim.
That was all Tim.
Tim, and, you know, wanted to show that the team was sort of like, at the end of the day, had each other's backs, you know?
Yeah, how do they get like the better of Bob,
right?
Because Bob is ultimately trying to break them apart and pit them against each other. And if you have a bunch of people chose this one and no one chose this guy, then you know people start fighting.
They would have ended the game.
But how do they? How do they all come out on top? Is like everyone kind of respects everyone else in some small way.
And so I think Bob was just trying to help them realize it.
Yeah.
I don't think he had it out for him. I think his end game was like, I want these guys to work.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah.
And then you get Keith and Lance, and their unique dynamic.
Yeah,
very fun. But yeah, I think that was all Tim.
Yep.
Tim is a smart cookie. He was thinking when we don't
have we were like, how's this gonna happen? And then we read it and we're like, that's pretty smart. Yeah.
Like that is a good way for that to happen.
Worked out. Mm-hmm.
And I do love, and again, this is part of Keith and Lance's dynamic that we've had going from day one, and that we've seen grow, and Lance now being the right arm of Voltron and Keith being able to make these, like, I love that we still have just that little teeny bit of antagonism between them, where they're still going to be jerks to each other on occasion. That's what it's built on. But that they're definitely able to work together in most situations. Like, we got that later on in the season with, you can, like, I trust you, you can do this, don't miss. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. That was it. I mean, I have that exact relationship with my buddy who lives in Japan. We go years and years without seeing each other. As soon as we pick back up, I mean, we're right into, like, you know, your mama jokes. Like, it's like that's the opening salvo. It's like, it's good to see you too, man.
Yeah, it's I just loved the idea of Lance has grown, like, and he's, like, moving on. And he's like, I think Keith is the future. And he's opening up. And Keith is just so perturbed by the whole game show thing that, like, he's not even putting thought into it. He's just like, whatever, I'm just going to answer this question. So it was unique to each of their characters in that way, which I appreciated.
Mm-hmm. And this, we rewatched it last night, and I believe your comment was, these are some really calm reactions from Keith.
Being transported to a completely new location and having no idea what's going on. Yeah, they were very measured questions of like, hi, I'm Keith. What are we doing here?
Well, I think
we actually have a legit reason for that. You want to
No,
tell
please, please.
So, Steve is not always the easiest guy to get a hold of.
You don't say.
He's got a lot of work to do. This was one of those where we had actually called ADR cues on all of those to have like more like concern and intrigue in his voice. And it came down to like, go time, and they're like, we're not going to get him in time. What do you want to do? Do you want to sound alike? And we're like, no, we don't want to sound alike. Everyone's going to know that's not him. And so we just kind of had to stick with those original reads, which were not necessarily the greatest.
Right. Well, oftentimes the first reads are, you know, we don't have like the benefit of having like table reads and like getting everybody on the same page. And sometimes they're coming in at different times.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's almost like that's your rehearsal. Your first time out is your rehearsal, and then we'll get a chance at pickups to like do something with a little bit more intention, especially when the storyboard's more complete and they have something to work off of.
And the original script had them as being kind
more
of dazed
confused
and like,
dazed.
Confused. And so when we went with like a storyboard where they were a little more alert, like Keith's reads didn't fit in with that.
But to me, it makes sense because, like, I don't
know. Whatever.
They've been thrust from Earth into flying lion robots, into making a giant robot man, and now it's just like, okay, what else? Like, what else is going on here?
You know? Like, the type to, like, just be the first one to be ready, like, all right, what's going on, guys?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. kind of, like, you know, supporting the team and being the team leader and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even at the same time, diving head into... Pictionary, got it.
Yeah. He locked
it in. Oh, okay, here we go.
He was into it at that point.
He had magical little, you know, bib in his mouth. And
I imagine Keith was, like, the most emo of them, who, like, he was sitting in his room drawing. Yeah. It's just like, yeah.
I can see that.
He had his kind of, like, you know, he was drawing his... What, ligers from Napoleon Dynamite?
That's right.
And he had a conspiracy board, and there were some things on there that weren't pictures.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he drew stuff.
Yeah.
He's an artiste.
Yeah.
So. I think my favorite small moment from the episode was when he snaps the pencil. And a new one just appears in his hand. He's like, what?
What is going on here?
Like, all the little bits of reality bending before we get the straight up, you will never leave.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. Pidge destroying it at mini golf was the, for those of you who missed the hints moment, like, yeah. By the way, almighty cosmic power, itty bitty stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're running a little short on time. Is there anything about the episode that you guys wanted to talk about that we haven't covered yet?
I think we
kind of nailed it. I don't know.
Anything you wanted to talk about, Eugene? Anything you put in there?
You know what? The Golgara part where, like,
that was all Eugene. That was magnificent.
My inspiration was actually William New, who's like our background designer, and that's like something he would do. Like, it's totally, I mean, like, he hasn't done it, but like, he's totally the type. Like, we play like Monster Hunter together, and he loves to taunt me and stuff. And that's something he would totally do. Just like, Golgara, just channeling that inner, like, you know.
Yeah, and just getting to bring Morvok back.
Yeah,
because like Morvok, he was so fun in that original.
The best. Episode. I mean, people like kind of, I don't know, got a little angry that he got smacked right upside his head, but like just his reaction, like, what did I do? Like, jeez,
you say that like Lotor wouldn't do that.
I know.
He's the kooky uncle.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there any other choice for a different general to take that spot, or was it always?
No,
I think Morvok was out. We wanted to figure out a way to bring Morvok back. We loved him.
Who's gonna bring the most comedy to it? It's always gonna be Morvok.
Yeah.
If anything,
I'm just
happy
to be here.
Yeah.
If anything, we've learned that the feud is a Morvok vehicle. Like,
that's it.
That's the one thing we've learned from this.
Like, how can we bring Morvok back? Game show.
Build an entire game show around him.
Exactly.
Just it's funny to think of, like, you know, these cardboard cutouts. This is the one time we see all three of them interacting together as a family.
That's right.
In the entire show.
That's right.
It's kind of incredible.
It's really magnificent. I just love it. I love that, you know, Zarkon yelling at Lotor wanting to take it out on someone, and all he's got is Morvok.
He's just gonna whack him.
Just like, bomb.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we must have put some sort of ridiculous sound effect on that, right?
Hopefully.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I rather like bonk.
Yes.
That's about what that is right there.
Gigantic bonk.
Was Jeff Bennett your guys' first choice for the game show
announcer? Oh, yeah.
I think so, yeah. And I want to say we got a few additions, and like he's just always got like
that great
voice.
He sounds like I want to hear that game show now. Like, he should just be...
I would watch the Jeff Bennett game show.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, I would. I'm absolutely down.
Yeah. He was reading like some of those, like, Garful, Warful, Snick, we'll be back. And he was like, this is crazy, guys. I like it. It's crazy.
This is crazy. I like it. Quote Jeff Bennett.
That's it.
Like, well, yeah. All right. We are definitely getting the wrap-up signed from our producer. So... thank you guys so much for coming
this
in tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah,
right on. Thank you guys. It's fun.
Oh, this has been an absolute blast. And again, thank you for suggesting it. I think this is the first time we've done a very special episode for Voltron, and I hope it will not be the last.
And it was
because
for the feud. Love it.
That's right.
For the feud. Like, let's do one for the Voltron show. Let's go. Let's have some fun. Not saying that's going to happen. That's the yes and talking. Are you working on any projects that you can tell people about?
No.
It is NDA o'clock on the sofa over there. All right. Where can the people go if they want to follow you, learn more about your work? What are your social medias?
Go for it, Eugene.
Ooh, I'm on Instagram under Unagi Donburi. And then on Twitter, it's _UnagiDon.
I'm at Art of Lauren M on Twitter and the best Lauren Montgomery on Instagram.
I'm JDS underscore 77 and JDS underscore 247 or something.
Yeah.
On either of some of those.
Yeah. Both of those. 247 is definitely the Twitter one. I have that memorized.
There we go. That's Twitter. The other one's the Instagram.
Is there anything you want to say to the fans of the show? Because the next time we see you guys, it'll be after the finale drops.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for watching.
Yeah. thanks for being passionate.
Yeah, we hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a joy to create it and bring it to you guys.
Yeah, and we're peacing out. Thank you so much.
Peace out.
It has been a joy to watch this series. Awesome. This is my new gold standard for animation dealing with war, and it's real hard to beat out Transformers Prime for that.
Oh, wow.
So, congratulations, you guys. Thanks again for joining us for this. Thank you guys, everyone who's in chat and watching and listening, for joining us. There's 700 of you, and that is so many. And thank you guys for coming in. Mark, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mark Bidonica, all over the internet, Mark Bidonica. I just wrapped a show on Twitch called Artificial. It was a great experience. Go check it out. It's a sci-fi, it's not live, so it's not interactive anymore, but it's about an AI trying to learn how to be human. Go check that out. And I have a podcast called Party of Two, which is a theme parks podcast that I do with my wife. Go check that out on iTunes, SoundCloud, all sorts of stuff. Thank you for watching. It's great to be back on the team.
Yeah. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost, so you can follow that at No Love Lost Pod.
I want to say a quick thank you to Hero of Hessianite for drawing us all on a game show.
Yes, wow.
Yes.
So
thank you.
You can follow actual Red Lion Emma 5 at Emma 5. You can follow Blue Lion Alexis Torres at 8Torres890. And I am Black Lion Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. Guys, the new and final season drops in December. Odds are the after show is going to start in January. Follow the Twitter, follow us, follow the hashtag. We will let you know more as we know more. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you for the final season.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.